That was Bronski Beat, Small Town Boy, the Pikachunes remix, and you are back on the Tuesday morning of Absolute Truth. And my next guest this morning, Goff, the singularly named Goff with a lowercase g, very artistic, is the company director of Bare Nuts Productions. He's also the first legally blind person to write, produce, edit, direct, and star in a feature film completely unassisted, which is quite the thing to have on the resume. Goff joins me on the line right now. Goff, how are you this morning?
G'day, Matt. I'm great. Thank you for having me on the show.
No problem at all. You sound great. Very, very appropriate for your Gold Coast location this morning. Very bright and sunny. Hello, Goff. Sorry, just hold the line 1 second, mate. I'm just having a little bit of an issue with our console here. Won't be two ticks. I'll have you on in 1 second. Goff, can you hear me?
No, I've got you. Now you're back.
Sorry for the false start there, mate. It's just a small issue with our console, but I'm sure we'll be sailing smoothly from here on out. So, look, let's skip the pleasantries, seeing as we bungled that up, and get straight into the meat of it. So, Legally Blind film director is, pretty attention-grabbing lead-in. So, I wasn't actually sure what Legally Blind meant initially, I'll be honest. From what I understand, you're not completely in darkness, as it were, but your sight is significantly limited, to say the least. Would that be accurate?
Yeah. So I can't see out of my right eye and have very limited vision in my left eye. So here in Australia, I get classified as being legally blind.
And in terms of, you know, being a film director, obviously people would see that as quite a hurdle if your sight is limited to that extent. So, I mean, when did you realise that filmmaking was your calling?
Well, I've always been interested in storytelling, and I've always been writing. Like, ever since I was a little kid, I was writing, you know, little scripts and little books and things like that, and then it just kind of developed. And, you know, as a teenager, I kept writing bigger and longer scripts and all sorts of things like that. And, when I got into my early 20s, I started up Bare Nuts Productions, the production company, and thought, well, I want to get these scripts made. So I started sending them out to networks and producers and whatnot, but nobody was really that interested because of my disability. They all just thought I was a bit of a joke, really. So I thought, well, if I want to get these scripts of mine made, I best just do it myself. So that's pretty much what I did. So yeah, I founded Bare Nuts Productions and got busy making my films.
Yeah, it's a tough nut to crack in general, even without, you know, holdbacks like that. So real go-getting attitude, no doubt. It's interesting that you say writing scripts and coming up with ideas and everything since you were a child, because, I mean, naturally, as a largely, you know, visual medium, I think most people would assume that the visually impaired would get less out of films. But I'm guessing that that's a misplaced assumption from the sounds of it.
Absolutely. I mean, what gives you the creeps in a great horror film isn't what you see, it's what you don't see. I mean, it's the knife along the glass, or the creaking of the timber, or the music they use in a film, and not just in horror, but in all films. So I think it's wrong to assume that film is just a visual medium. I mean, a really great film should enlighten all of your senses. You know, everything should be heightened by a really fantastic film. I mean, a really great comedy, you don't need your eyesight to laugh at a hilarious joke, for example. So, I think it is wrong to assume that it is purely a visual media.
No, it's a really good point. It's one that we actually have raised on occasion in our film review segment on the show, which just by coincidence we happen to have earlier today, is that with, you know, all the CGI and everything these days, people are, you know, with all the stuff they can do visually, I think the art of suspense and so forth through, you know, just music and anticipation and whatever has sort of been lost, and maybe that's something that will be much richer for a person such as yourself, who, as I say, doesn't use that part of the medium as much. I mean, I imagine kind of watching Jaws and not even being able to see what's happening on the screen would be very similar from the actual experience, because, as you say, you don't actually see the shark in that film, and, you know, more than on a couple of quick occasions and really just toward the end.
Well, it's a very good point you raised earlier about all the CGI and all that sort of stuff. So when I'm writing a script, You know, it's all about the dialogue and making the dialogue as funny, because most of my stuff is comedy-based, and making the dialogue as funny as humanly possible, and making those characters sound as real as possible. So I'm not distracted by the things that don't matter as much, you know what I mean? So, and that goes to when we film as well. I'm not distracted by things that other people do in their jobs. So, for example, I'll give the makeup artist her brief. So, you know, I need this particular character to look a particular way, and so I just leave her to do the job. I do have a sighted guide on set who will say to me, yep, she looks like you want her to look, and everything's sweet, and we move on.
Must be a lot of trust.
Absolutely, absolutely, 100% a lot of trust. But it means that I don't interfere with a lot of people's work. You know, I employ them to do a job, and they do that job for me. So I'm purely concentrating on what is most important in a film, which is, like, the actors' performances and making sure that the film, you know, sounds and feels and looks the way it needs to. So I think that in a strange kind of way, it probably helps me because it focuses me more. And yes, there is a lot of trust involved to make sure that people are following their instructions pretty much.
In terms of facial expressions as well, they say in radio, for instance, you can hear a smile or what have you over the air. I actually think too much importance is placed in it, frankly, but you know, you can kind of hear someone's expression. So I can imagine just from listening to scenes, you'll be able to tell sometimes if something's just not quite right.
100%. No, actually you're one of the first people that have actually picked that up. I'm usually the one that's explaining that to others, but you are 100% correct. So a lot of actors get a little bit irritated sometimes with me because I can absolutely, their tones and inflections are so important for me. So I do pick up on all of that sort of stuff. And if something's just 1% off, we'll do it again because I can pick that up, you know. And so I you're right, I can't see the facial expressions. Again, I've got Simon that will confirm that they're giving me the facial expressions that I want. But I mean, if, for example, you've got somebody yelling in a scene, I mean, their face is going to naturally contort with the fact that they're yelling and they're angry. So, I mean, the dialogue and the voice will do that a lot of the time anyway, and it's just the actors need to, you know, give that extra little bit with the face, which, again, Simon will confirm for me. But you are absolutely correct.
Well, let's talk about your work specifically for a moment then. Now, first of all, the main film is available in its entirety on your website for download. I will not go quietly. Interesting, you chose a play on words with hearing in the title there. I haven't watched the full thing yet. I watched a bit of it yesterday. It really is actually quite captivating. Unfortunately, I just had to go to bed, but I'm planning on finishing it off tonight, and I might actually recommend it to our film critic in a coming segment. But that's available in its entirety on the website Bare Knight Productions, which I recommend everyone go check out. Your other work, you've got a range of short films and skits on your website, and one thing I wanted to ask you about is your business model here, because each one is on sale for about $4 to $5. They all have trailers, so you can preview them and so forth. In theory, that's pretty reasonable. You know, I mean, the price of a cup of coffee or what have you for some entertainment, not bad. In practice, though, I mean, there's so much on YouTube and everything available for free these days. Getting people to spend money on entertainment in the 21st century is infamously just like pulling teeth. Big gripe in the music scene, I can tell you that much. How have you been converting, generally?
Well, there's a few answers to that question. Firstly, I always make sure that the short films that you mentioned all go for around 20 minutes so that people are getting value for their money. It's not just they're not paying for something that goes for 2 minutes. They all go for a decent amount of time. And sure. Also, like you said, there is trailers on the website so people can see what they're going to download. So they see that what they're going to be watching is going to be of a high enough quality that it deserves a few dollars of their change, you know what I mean? So they do see that we are producing high quality work, and also people also understand that we are an independent production and distribution company. When they go onto beernutsproductions.com, there's no third party involvement, so that means there's nobody telling me what I can and can't produce, which leads to a better product, and also it means that there's nobody, like no big multinational company with their hands in the cookie jar taking out any of our profits, so they know that 100% of what is raised goes back into the company so we can make the next film, so we can keep going and keep producing entertainment. So I think a lot of people understand that. But you are correct. I mean, our biggest challenge is getting people to the website, to beernutsproductions.com, in the first place, because, I mean, the marketing side of it is so difficult to let people know that you exist, because, I mean, you could have the greatest product in the world, but if people don't know that you exist, they're never gonna find out. So it's marketing is always, and I think will always be, our biggest challenge.
Well, happy to put some toward the war effort this morning, Gough, because I love what you're doing, and I think, you know, a self-starter such as yourself always is inspiring, especially for people like me who just need to get off their ass a little bit more and apply themselves in life. So we really do appreciate you making the time. Again, Beer Nuts Productions, very easy name to remember, all one word, of course. That's Beer is in the drink, beernutsproductions.com. Gough, thank you as always. If you are, you know, ever in Christchurch in the future, feel free to pop by the studio.
Fantastic. Thanks, Matt, for having me on. I really appreciate your time.